Now, I know this is near and dear to everybody's heart. But today what I'm going to talk about is the principles of giving, and next week, the reasons for giving. And so, it would behoove you to go out with Nolan and grab them all off the street and bring them in here, because they need to know. Yes, that's you too, Sharon. Behooves. That means be to your advantage. Yes, it would. If you would turn to one of the least read scriptures in the Bible, John 3:16. We should know this scripture by heart. And I will use this scripture as a springboard. For God so loved the world that He gave His only and one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For most people in the church, giving to the king is a matter of duty, ritual, or tradition. And the reason why I say that is you can listen to their conversations and you can hear them when you talk about tithing, and this is much greater than just tithing. But when you talk about tithing, they say, I go to church and pay my tithes. And that is a religious attitude. God doesn't need your tithe. He doesn't want your tithe. He wants your heart. And the best way to find out what a person is made of is see what their heart is attached to. And every one of us has our heart attached to our wallets or purses. What we do with that tells a vast story of what we consider as priority or our understanding of why we give. God so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should have eternal life. God is a giver. He gave Adam life. He gave Adam a kingdom. And Adam blew it. Adam gave the kingdom to Satan, and has imprisoned every person born into this world into sin. You look cute with his glasses on. Just a sidebar. When we come to the king, I think our attitude is one that we really, truly don't understand, that it doesn't matter where it is we come to the king. When he talked to the woman at the well, and she said to him, you know, you Jews worship God in the temple, and we worship Him wherever. And Jesus said, there's coming a day where they'll neither worship God in the temple or wherever. They will worship God in their hearts, in spirit and in truth. You see, giving to the king is an act of worship that tells a lot about our heart. And you've heard me express things like, I don't pay my tithes, I give my tithes to God. And I want to. I do not want to not give to Him. And when you begin to start seeing the benefits of what He talks about in giving, you should readily make that your priority to honor the King. The whole purpose, that thing's bugging me. The whole purpose for Jesus to come was to pay for your sins and my sins. But that was only half his purpose. The other half of the purpose was in his victory, when he rose from the dead, he restored the kingdom back to us who gave it away. And he has constituted to us that we are kings and priests to God the Most High. We don't believe that because we're still acting as if the kingdom is something far away, something futuristic. But the reality for us who do believe, it is 24/7. It is our priority and it is part of who we are. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should have eternal life. And because Jesus has successfully risen from the dead, his blood has paid or atoned for my sins and your sins, we now can stand righteous before God because of what he has done. And he has restored the kingdom to us, but not directly to us, because everything we do is through Jesus Christ. Amen? And that means that your life and my life is now hidden in him, so that his life can now exude from us. There was not one thing that Jesus did not do. He said to the disciples, when you pray, agreeing in anything, two or more of you, I will do it for you. He was trying to implement something of our understanding that if we give to God, whether exchange of our problems, exchange of our ideas, exchange of our monies to him, he will do what we're asking him to do, as long as it's according to his will. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the problem that we have is we don't understand this process of giving. And so today, I want us to understand, how many of you believe that you are of royal descent? You are. Jesus is King of the universe. There is nothing that is made that he has not made, and it was made for his good pleasure, including you. Even the wicked were created for the day of destruction. His desire is not to destroy the wicked. His desire for the wicked is to come to him and be saved. But you are a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of kings. And because of that, you must come to understand some royal principles about giving. You ready? They're six, and they're easy. Number one principle is that wealth that is displayed reveals the king's power. The wealthier the king, the greater his power. And to me, it's obvious that my Father, the King of the universe, is the most powerful and wealthiest king ever. And he's your Father too. And he displays his riches to us. All you have to do is look outside. Look at the birds. Look at the bees. Look at the ants. Look at the trees. Look at all the stuff that he has created for you and for me to enjoy. How many of us appreciate the glory of God in such a way that he reveals how much he loves us by creating a world for us to enjoy? And this is only a microcosm of the absolute amount of worth and wealth that he has contained in heaven. We cannot fathom how rich He is. We can only agree what Scripture says, that He is rich in grace towards us through Jesus Christ. His grace abounds to us over and above. His mercy is renewed every day, which means it is unending. I don't want to have His grace run out on my life, that I have to deal with His mercy. Because when He has to deal with us in mercy, it means that He's kind of angry and He's going to punish us as His children. What is grace? Receiving something we don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving something we do deserve. But there is a time, just like in any other parent's life, that they must discipline their children because their children are unruly. But God is great. He is above all that. He hates to discipline because He would rather us get the picture of how awesome He is. His desire for us is to have our hearts so filled with His grace and His mercy that we live this grace and mercy 24/7. Not live in the pulpitry of what the world offers us that keeps us in our carnality or keeps us slaves to sin. God is so much more than that. And He wants to display His wealth. He wants to bestow His wealth upon His church. He wants to lavish His riches upon us. And we don't even want to receive His lavish love for us because we can't believe that God would love us. Yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. There's no greater love than for a person to lay down their life for another. That is tremendous wealth. I remember one time Irene and I, we were driving down to the mall. And we found substance in our car. And I said, man, I am not going to hell for this. Done. But Jesus went to hell for me. Jesus went to hell for you. He paid your crimes and paid mine. And so displayed His greatest gift to us, atonement. And we don't appreciate that because as a king, the king laid down his life for his subjects. Two, the wealthier the king, the greater is his reputation and glory. Every king desires to have a reputation that is of goodness, benevolence, magnanimousness and justice, and is exhibited in the care for His people. God wants to provide for His citizens. And I find it really timely that in the words that were shared today, how much He wants to give to His people. And yet His people will not come to Him. It's not that God doesn't want to give it to you. You just haven't come to Him. And I can remember going to a conference one time and a brother was sharing about an experience he had in the Spirit, and he was taken up into heaven and he was walking with the angel. And the angel was showing him all the structures in heaven. And there was this big giant building off this side. And he says, well, what's that? He goes, oh, he says, that's a treasure trove over there. He goes, can I see it? And he goes, no, I don't think so. I don't think God wants to show that. And he goes, well, what's in it? He said, all the things that God wants to give to His people that they haven't asked for. And it broke this man down in his spirit because we ask for beggarly things. And we don't ask God for the awesome, great things that He wants to give to us as royal family members. He wants to display this. He wants to bestow it upon you. And if we can get our minds elevated to where the kingdom of heaven is, we would begin to start accessing those things that God would have for us. You see, His reputation is at stake. We could say how awesome God is, but is that reflective of your life as a kingdom child? God wants us to be secure. He wants us to have peace. But do we live and ask for these treasures? Do we fight for these treasures that He wants to bestow upon us? Any citizen that knows that they are secure in knowing that the King will provide for them will turn and love the King. And because of that, the King will gain respect from other kings because the people love the King. Do you love the King of Kings? You see, it's not your reputation that's at stake. It's His. He sent the most precious thing, His Son, and He gave His Son for you and for me. And all He asked was for us to go and tell other people about our Father, the King. And we act as if our reputation is at stake. Really think about it. We live as though His reputation doesn't matter. Third, the glory of the King is the power to give out or outgive another king. Now this may seem a little egotistical to you, but no king likes another king to outgive his subjects. Again, it's about the reputation that's at stake. God wants to lavishly, He hilariously wants to give the kingdom and all its resources to His people. But His people do not want it. Turn to Luke. Luke 12. And see something here. Luke 12, verses 42 through 44 says, and the Lord answered, who then is the faithful manager and wise, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food and allowance? That's not the scripture I want. I want the widow's mite. Anyhow, I wrote the wrong scripture down, but what I want is the widow's mite. It was at the time when all the wealthy were going into the temple and they were paying their tithes. And the widow went there and put in the last of what she had. Two minas. Worth about 2 cents, 3 cents. And Jesus chastised the wealthy, saying that this woman gave all of her substance. And really what we have to understand is if we love God, it should not be any big deal to give of all our substance, because it's His anyhow. She exhibited great faith because she knew that the King of Glory was going to take care of her. The problem is God's people think that God will lavish them with material goods, when the reality of it is He wants to lavish them with spiritual wealth. God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Four, giving to the king places demands on the king's wealth. To acquire wealth and not use it serves no purpose. Good kings use their wealth to bring prosperity and security to their citizens for the purpose of improving their quality of life. Kings know how to make money work for them. It is called the law of reciprocity. Money begets money. Or, in our vernacular, you got to spend money to make money. That's what it's about. And it is to God's glory to give His wealth. He wants you to have a healthy, prosperous life. But He will not give us things that will draw us away from Him. He will not give us the next best Lexus that's driving out there. He will not even give us the Cadillac that will turn us on. He won't do that. He won't give us a boyfriend or a girlfriend that will draw us away from Him. He wants to be preeminent above all things. Not clothing, not alcohol, not drugs, not people, Him. And it is to His glory that He has this. When you give to the king, you then place a demand on the king's wealth. When you give your offering, your tithe, God is now responsible to outgive you for what you gave Him. Did you know that? It's a royal principle. And not to give to the king insults the king. Because whether you can see Him or not, He is here. And when we give nothing but the scraps of our life to Him, He weighs in the balance, is this an insult or is this the true condition of a person's heart? To come and not give to the king is an insult. It's like coming to my house, eating up all my food, and then leaving. It's an insult to me. It's an insult to my family. To provide and people just take off. To use, and use. And God gets upset with that too. He loves to give, but He wants us to give with the right motive. When we come, He promises to outgive us. Because again, it's His reputation that's at stake. He doesn't want someone else to outgive Him. Fifth, the king is required to respond to a gift. He is obligated to respond to a gift and exceed it. Turn to 1 Kings 10. I want you to see something here. This is about the Queen of Sheba. 1 Kings 10, verse 4. And we will read to 13. We there? And when the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon, and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearer bearers, and the burnt offering he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I have heard from my own country about your achievements and your wisdom are true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me, in wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I have heard. How happy your men must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king and to maintain justice and righteousness. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those that the queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. Harem ships brought gold from Ophet. And from there they brought great cargoes of ogham wood and precious stones. The king used the ogham wood and to make supports for the temple of the Lord and for the royal palace, and to make harps and lyres for the musicians. So much ogham wood has never been imported or seen since. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for, besides what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned with her retinue to her own country. I want us to focus on a number, 128 talents. Besides all the other stuff, we can understand a number. I've done the math. 128 talents or 120 talents is equivalent to 4.5 tons of gold. Gold is selling presently at $900 an ounce. There are 16 ounces in a pound. 8,000 pounds equals 128,000 ounces times 800. Or 900 is $115,200,000 that she gave as a gift. A gift. Not including the spices, the ogham wood, and all the other stuff. And Solomon gave her even more. It is an example to us that we as God's people, that whatever we give, God will give all we desire. You can't outgive God, and you should not try to give to God to get from God, because you own it already too, if you are part of His family. See, that's where the church messes up. The church messes up in that I give to get. You already have it. You just need to know how to access it. The Queen of Sheba gave $115,200,000 in gold. I don't know about you, I like to receive a gift like that. There's a lot I could do with that stuff. But then you see, I'm obligated as a king to outgive that gift. And praise God, I just go to my Father who can give, outgive me many times over. He is obligated to respond to the gift that you present and outgive you. Jesus said it this way, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, and it will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you." In other words, you don't give to God with a proper heart, don't expect to receive from Him. If you don't delight yourself in God, He will not give you the desires of your heart. It's condition. Pastor, you're talking about condition, and God's love is unconditional. Absolutely. But there are principles that the kingdom people must operate under in order to access what God has for us. Jesus said, "Don't throw your pearls before swine." And God definitely will not throw his riches and lavish it upon His people if we're going to waste it. You see, what He gives to us is to be given away to extend His kingdom, His influence, and build up his reputation. And six, giving to the king attracts the king's wealth to the giver. Again, the law of reciprocity. If you want to begin to start attracting what God has for you, you need to give. You need to stop taking. You need to give. And give with a pure heart, not with a motive of getting. When we come and give our offering to God, your soul should be so filled up with what God has given to you the past week, how He has blessed you, how that even in the drama that we have in our lives, that we create, that God takes care of that for us too, if we do it His way. You see, the issue here for the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, is we've got to grow up, church. We've got to grow up. We've got to stop thinking that we've got this dowry waiting for us in heaven and that when we get there, we get it. Now, the dowry has been paid. God wants to give it to you. But He is not going to give to you if you're going to remain selfish and self-centered about it. Again, it's His reputation that's at stake, not yours and not mine. These are the principles of giving to the king. God wants to reveal Himself as a tremendous giver to you. Whether that gift is peace of mind in your soul. How much is that worth to you? Having the great job and knowing that He will provide if I do my part. What is that worth to you? An education that could change the course of countries. What is that worth to you? You see, those who don't think big are just satisfied with the crumbs. I used to be satisfied with the crumbs. I think big now. My problem is I'm impetuous. Not patient. And God is lavishly pouring out on me. Because I want to have the wealth of the kingdom. The wealth of the spiritual goods that money can't buy. Moth can't eat. Thief can't steal. Can never be taken away from me. What are the things that you're looking for? You can't gain them by being argumentative and bullheaded, stubborn. That's nothing. But you can gain everything through peace, love, and reconciliation. And God can see that you gain it if you delight in Him. Amen? Next week we will discuss about the reasons for giving. And hopefully that'll open up your eyes even more about giving to the king. Because God definitely wants to open up not only the windows, but the doors of His treasure trove to give to His people. We just need to learn how to do it. And it all starts by giving. Amen? Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, God, that You have enlightened us today, Lord, about giving. And I ask, God, that You continue to change our hearts. We are not thieves, God. We are not liars. We are kings and priests, heirs to the kingdom. Workers in Your field, warriors of Your army. Sons and daughters. Holy Spirit, I give You permission to work in my life, in the life of the sheep, that truly want more of You. Educate us to apply these principles in our lives. Because it is not our reputation that's at stake. It is yours. You are a prize. You are a precious jewel in a field that we have hidden. Help us to unearth it, clean it up, and let it shine forth from us, God. That all people would see and know that we are your people, sheep of your pasture, heirs of salvation. I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen.